You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now, 109, 1450, and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. And this segment of the program brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heat, and air conditioning needs. I encourage you to experience the Paradigm Shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. New Hampshire primary interviews on the program presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. For more information, check out RathLaw.com. Welcome to the program right now. An individual in the Granite State today taking part in politics and eggs and doing a little campaigning as well. He is Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio. Congressman Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you.
Great. Appreciate you joining us for the program. And so, first off, kind of an upshot as to how you see the nominating contest at this point in time for Democrats. You look at polling, and it seems there's kind of a clearly established final four, if you will, with Kamala Harris on the outside of that right now. Biden, Warren, Buttigieg, and Sanders are that top four. And for you and other candidates, opportunity still exists. It's a long way out from the first votes being taken here in New Hampshire in February. How do you get into that top four group, and how do you have that moment that kind of catapults you moving forward? Really, there's only been one individual that's had that moment so far, and that's Pete Buttigieg. And Elizabeth Warren has been doing a really good job on the ground here in New Hampshire, pushing out policy. And after a rough start to her campaign, her efforts are paying off.
Yeah, I mean, hard work. You got to get out there and, bust your rear end and get to know the people here in these states, especially in Iowa and New Hampshire. Those are going to be the early states. And I think once people, recognize, who I am and where I'm from, that I'm from Northeast Ohio, that I've been living at the epicenter of deindustrialization, the opiate crisis, the healthcare crisis, the infant mortality crisis, and have been really a forgotten community with a lot of forgotten workers over the years, and people recognize that I'm not going to let that happen anymore, that it's the working class that needs to get represented again in the United States, that we've been forgotten by both Democrats and Republicans. People are starting to come our way. I mean, every stop I make in Iowa and New Hampshire, we pick up volunteers, we pick up people who want to be a part of the campaign. We're going to be on the debate stage. We're going to be on the Daily Show on Thursday so that's going to be a great opportunity for us. And, we're excited to just keep getting the message out about bringing the country together. Trump blew it up. Now it's time to put it back together.
We're going to talk with Senator Feltes here in just a little bit. Senate Majority Leader Governor Sununu vetoed legislation which would have provided $3 million to individuals who are fighting the opioid crisis, providers on the front line here in New Hampshire. And I'm curious, from your perspective, how do you evaluate what the federal government has done in addressing the opioid and co-occurring mental health epidemic in our country? And what would you do differently?
Well, we haven't done enough. I mean, I was a big part of us getting the CARA bill, Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, that we passed the other day, or the other year. It was probably, I don't know how many months ago, but there was not enough money in there. We've got to get money down into the community. That's got to be key if we're going to address the treatment issue, if we're going to address the stress that's being put on first responders and local communities. That they need resources, and they need money to be able to do that. And it's going to take some leadership in Washington, D.C., for us to make that happen. And, I'm going to provide that leadership because I'm from a community that has seen the deaths. I mean, it's affected our families. My staff that I have in Ohio has been affected by the overdose issue, and we're going to keep pounding away on it.
What, in your view, is the basis and kind of the baseline for addressing this particular issue? I mean, is it prevention? Is that the need to create a sustained effort over a long period of time to prevent individuals from using drugs and having a discussion about that? How do you go about, not just for the individual who is currently in a state of addiction, but to prevent future generations from either using drugs, alcohol, Because it seems like this, whether the drug may change, but the problem remains, where individuals are either dealing with economic related issues, mental health related issues. What is in your view the baseline for addressing the opioid epidemic?
Well, it's got to be a multi-pronged effort. I think we need to keep these drugs, the heroin, out of our country to the extent we can. A lot of it's coming in from Mexico, so we do have to have strong border security when it comes to that. We have fentanyl coming in through the United States Postal Service and through some of our ports. We've got to do a better job of keeping that out of here. But ultimately, you know, we've got to teach in our schools. I'm focusing on an education plan. I think in our schools we have to have a strong prevention program. We've got to have social and emotional learning in our schools. We've got to have mental health treatment. We don't have enough providers. We have a mental health crisis in this country, and a lot of times people who are looking for ways to deal with their depression or their mental health issues, they turn to drugs, and sometimes these drugs, like heroin, like methamphetamine, are very, very highly addictive, and then that continues a downward spiral. So the prevention comes from, you know, making sure we have enough providers, making sure they get paid enough with regard to mental health, and making sure we're doing all we can to prevent this in our schools, and then also the law enforcement piece. There's no easy way to do it, Chris. I mean, just it's got to get done, and we've got to come together as a country. That's why being so divided, whether it's in the state, you heard about Governor Sununu vetoing that bill, or in the national government, we got to get out of this recklessness of being so divided. We've got big issues that we need to solve, and we can't solve them unless we come together.
That's Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. I am Chris Ryan inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio. This hour of the program presented by the Prescription Center as well as New England College. And this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and air conditioning. We talked about this in the previous segment with Senator Klobuchar, and you know, last night and yesterday, my kids had a ton of questions about David Ortiz and guns. And so this is a conversation that parents are having with their kids, not just in light of David Ortiz, and obviously that shooting took place outside of our country, but we're in a place where individuals, you know, are of a mindset that, you know, they can shoot other individuals and they get to that place, or they are going to commit an act of violence via bombing or something of that nature. And, you know, I feel that we have a violence, you know, epidemic as well. When you think about these types of events that are taking place, and obviously the gun is a part of it, but I think the mindset is the first and foremost part of, this epidemic, which is taking place. What are your views on how we get to a place where we reduce or end the amount of school shootings, violence taking place in public places, and things of that nature?
This starts in our schools, and obviously we need background checks, and we don't need weapons of war, here in our country. So that's really important that we do address that. But ultimately, I want people to go to timryanforamerica.com, which is my website. We're going to be putting out proposals on my education reform proposal. And this has a very strong focus on social and emotional learning. And when I say social and emotional learning, those programs teach kids how to regulate their own emotion, mm-hmm. self-regulation. It teaches kids how to be more connected to other students in the school, more connected to their teacher, more connected to their parents, how to deal with anger, how to deal with fear. Actually gets their brain out of fight or flight mode. So many of these kids come to our school traumatized, and I believe that if we're going to transform our country, it's going to begin with trauma-based care. Mm-hmm. Over 50% of the kids that go to our schools in the public schools in the United States are low income. So that they deal with the adverse childhood experiences that come from being in a low-income family or there's domestic violence. So giving the kids the skills they need. And at the end of the day, what we see with these social and emotional learning programs is literally an 11 percentile point increase in test scores, which closes the achievement gap. There's a 10% increase in pro-social behavior. There's a 10% decrease in antisocial behavior, which is a 20% swing in the mood of the schools. So you're literally giving the kids the skills they need to regulate themselves and to be balanced and have healthy relationships. This is also very good for the teachers too. It reduces their stress, has reduced turnover, and makes their job more appealing. But to get to the heart of the matter, Chris, we've got to understand that we've got to utilize the brain science that we now understand in the last 10 or 20 years, learned more about the brain in the last 20 years than the previous 200. Now, how do you infuse that knowledge into our schools? To me, it comes through these social and emotional learning programs. That's how you build a healthy society, and it makes its way into the neighborhood. And I think it, over time, is going to reduce violence and build a better country for us.
Now, I think that sounds phenomenal, and also we've talked a lot about the program before about the need to have mental health professionals available for students in schools and to start to, you know, really create an environment where mental and physical health are integrated. On guns, though, for a second, you mentioned the fact that you know, the weapons of war that are available for sale and such. I feel that one of the more important things, particularly in a state like New Hampshire, is that individuals, in my view, who are lawful gun owners, have a right to be concerned about the scaling back of lawful purchases of weapons. And in my view, there has to be a coinciding element where a huge dedication of resources is provided to law enforcement to take back illegal guns and individuals who should not have guns. And that has to be a big piece of it as well, because there's a true fear that exists amongst homeowners and parents that, you know, there is a individual that may perpetrate an act and they want to be prepared to defend themselves.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a hunter. I'm not Annie Oakley, but I do hunt. My oldest son and I, Mason, we do a duck hunt every year where we get to hang out. And so I understand the sportsman culture. I understand the tradition. I understand how embedded this is into American culture. But at the same time, yes, we've got to make sure that criminals, terrorists, kids, people with mental health issues don't get access to firearms. And I think you can do this in a balanced way where you make sure that somebody who lives in a tough neighborhood and wants to have a firearm in order to protect their family can have one. But you don't need silencers, and you don't need the extended clips, and you don't need these huge weapons of war. That's not where society is today. And I, you know, other than the NRA blocking a lot of very common sense legislation, mm-hmm. we should be able to do that. Again, we've got to come together around this. From a Democrats perspective, a Democratic Party perspective, who better to send into the general election than somebody who does hunt and understand the culture to say, hey, guys, let's do some common sense stuff here.
Congressman Ryan, as always, great to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Take care of yourself.
All right, that is Tim Ryan here on Hampshire Now, 1-59-1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is presented by the Prescription Center as well as New England College, and that segment of the program brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Hampshire Primary Interviews on the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.